Turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 19. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 19. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 19, the scripture says, "We love him," that is the Lord, "because he," again, that is the Lord, "first loved us." We love him because he first loved us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day and for your blessings. We thank you, Father, for the way you blessed us in this past week. Lord, you're so good to us and so gracious and merciful. And Lord, your blessings abound. Lord, we praise your name for the good word that was preached by our brother that came and that you brought him to us. We thank you for safety that you gave him to and from here being with us, the wonderful time you gave us together to be able to worship you and hear your word preached. We thank you, Father, for the power of your word and, Lord, how you've made it, and it's the way that it is with you, Father. Your word endures. And, Lord, we pray that you'd help us in those things that we were taught and were reaffirmed, those things in which we were enlightened in this past week, Lord, that they'd remain with us and that we might grow in them. And, Lord, we might even build upon them. And, Lord, that you would just help us as your people. Help us as your church here. And thank you, Father, for not only saving us, but putting us in your church. And we thank you, Father, for your great word and, Lord, your great work in our lives. We pray, Father, for those that are here this morning without Christ, Lord, they might see the Lord Jesus Christ as they've never seen him before. Lord, give them eyes to see. Give them a heart to believe. Father, that they might know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin and, Lord, the blessing of everlasting life and, Lord, a relationship with the Savior. Help now, we pray and bless. Work in us, Father, and remove all the cares of life from our hearts and minds. We ask it all in Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here John, the Apostle John, he seemingly writes, and indeed it is a seemingly a marvel to him that the Lord would love him so. As it was sung this past week, I believe, the song, "Why Should He Love Me So?" And the Lord loves us because he's determined to do so, and we praise his name for that. And I believe that John, the Apostle John, reveled and marveled in the love of the Savior for him. I wonder about John. He seemed to be a man that, along with his brother James, they maybe were kind of tough and hard. They were fishermen, and fishing with nets out on the Sea of Galilee is not easy work. We can kind of get a glimpse of that maybe by some of the shows that are at hand that talk about how commercial fishermen work on the water. There's nothing easy about it. Merchant marines and the work that they do and carrying freight from continent to continent and such as that, being on the water and working as they did was not easy work. These men were not wimps by any means. Maybe I wonder about John, supposing in myself, but I wonder about John if he was a man maybe that found it himself hard to love. Maybe he was a man that was he and his brother James being named by the Lord Jesus the Sons of Thunder, although their father, his name, Zacharias, was nothing like that which he, like the Lord Jesus named. The name of their father was a very peaceable and a blessed kind of name. It indicated a blessing from the Lord, even, if my memory serves me correct. Being loud and boisterous, maybe being quick to answer, maybe being tough to get close to, maybe being just hard, and maybe even a respecter of persons, being a Jew and a hard worker. You know, maybe John found it hard to love others himself. John, if you remember in the Gospels, John brings to the Lord about those that are not following along with the Lord and his disciples. And John asked the Lord, he tells the Lord he forbade them Another occasion, I believe, that there was some things going on, and I think it was John that asked, should we command that fire come down from heaven and destroy him? You know, we see kind of maybe a hardness in heart as the Lord is teaching John, and the Lord saved John, and the Lord indeed brought our brother, as he does with us. He brought him a long way, seemingly. And he writes here, we love him, we love the Lord, because he first loved us. John in this chapter talks about spirits at hand and that we need to try them. We need to try them, these spirits at hand, because not every spirit is of God. We need to try them by the word of God. And he talks about how it's known, and we're going to touch on this earlier in this chapter, though. We're going to touch on it in the message, but he says, the spirits that confess that Jesus is the Christ and has come in the flesh, they are of God. But not every spirit is that way, and we need to have discernment. But for the subject for the message this morning, we pick up in verse number 4, and he says this, ye are of God, little children. And he is an apostle, and if we understand correctly, lived a long life. Maybe one of the apostles that actually died of natural causes rather than being martyred for the sake of the Lord. He seems, if we understand historically, to be the oldest. And as he writes, he takes on that which the Lord, as he refers to us and those that he's writing to, he refers to us as little children. The Lord Jesus cared for little children, didn't he? He loved the little children. He told them, maybe it was John that said, get those kids out of here. The Lord hadn't got time with them. And the Lord Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. You know, John learned this great love of the Lord, and he had it within himself as a blessing of the Lord. And as he writes, he refers to us and to those that he wrote directly to at the time as little children. He says, you are of God, and little children have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Remember that. The one that lives within us is greater than all. This prince and power of the air that was brought out this past week and referred to, Satan, he is a prince. He's been given a domain. He has a responsibility and accountability before God. Our Savior is greater than he. And he goes on here in verse number 5, he said, they are of the world, and they speak of the world, and the world listens to them. But verse 6, we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. And that's a promise. We have the word of God here at Olmsted Baptist Church, not because of ourselves, but what the Lord's done in us. And we proclaim that word, and we testify that word, and spread that. And you know what? Those are of God, that are of God will hear it. We have a promise. We need to remember that, and we need to continue to hold forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and spread that seed. He that is not of God heareth not us. So realize that, and yeah, it can be discouraging, but just remember, the Lord is in it. The Lord's behind it. The Lord's working in it, and he will work in us that which he's pleased. We need to be about it. Brother Doug brought out in his Sunday school lesson, there's the things that the Lord's done for us and the things that the Lord has called us to, and then there's a business that he's given us to pursue. And may we be encouraged in that and just be doing it. We've been successful when we've obeyed the Lord. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of our error. If they love the truth, they'll line up with the truth that we possess. And again, that truth is not because of us, because of the Lord. And may the Lord help us that we be refined, we be matured, we be perfected in having the truth. Where I'm wrong, where we are wrong, may the Lord show us what's right and we line up with that. I mean, are you willing to change if we've got it wrong in some respect? I'm not saying we do, but if we do, are you wanting what's right? May we always have that introspection as individual children and as a church to desire what's right. I want to believe like the Lord Jesus believes, don't you? And he says in verse number 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Love originated with God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Let us love one another. Let us love one another as Christ loves us. He'll go on to say in other verses we'll consider. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. We've got a chorus that we sing from that verse, a good verse indeed. In verse number 8, he says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Love it's not everything, but it is a hallmark thing of the believer and a representation of the Lord. The great love that he has bestowed upon us and all that he has done for us. He that loveth not knoweth not God, because God, or for God, is love. In verse number 9, it says here, and this was manifested, the love of God. Here's how you know about God being love. This is how we know this. It was shown forth, manifested. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us. Here it is. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. We were dying. We are on our way to eternal death, physical death and eternal death. And the Lord showed his love by sending his Son. Not one of his sons, but the only Son, the only begotten Son. The Lord didn't hold even him back for our sakes. This is how the love of the Lord was manifested. It says in John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at 1 John 3:16, just right across the page. Hereby perceive, or we understand, we see it. We see it manifested. It's really shown forth. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us. Now it's more personal, isn't it? It's not only talking about the Father sending the Son, but it's talking about the Son loving us and laying down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's how much I'm to love you, brothers and sisters in Christ, unto death. That's how much the Lord Jesus Christ loved us. And that's how much we're to love one another unto death. I mean, if we're willing to give our lives, what is there that we'll hold short? Amen? And so he says, this is how it was manifested, that he gave his Son, that the Son came willingly. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God. Oh, and we do as much as we can, as much as within us. I want to love him more. And the song, My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the glories of sin I resign. My precious Redeemer, my Savior, and so on. That song in the verses goes through a progression. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. When we see more about the Lord, when we all are ultimately in his presence, oh, if I ever have loved you, it's now that I love you, because we see more what he's done. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. I had a scourging coming. I had more than that. I had a chastisement coming. More than that, I had a death coming for my sin. We as sinners, we had earned death by our sin. And Jesus came in to be the atoning victim, the one that stood in and took my sin, took my separation from God eternally, took my burning in hell for eternity, took all those things upon himself. He took it upon himself. A propitiation. That word propitiation is speaking of that. In chapter 2, verse number 2, he says, and he, that is Jesus, is the propitiation, the atoning one, the one that took it. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. He took the punishment. And he says here, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know, Jesus, in speaking about the limited atonement or the particular redemption that we hold to and believe, the Lord Jesus came to die and to pay for his people's sins. That is there in the scripture, and that is so. He came to redeem a particular, a peculiar, a select group of people. That's what the Lord has done. Otherwise, none would be saved. But you know what? The power of God is such that he could save every sinner. He could save every sinner, but he's chose in his love and grace and mercy to bestow a salvation upon those he has chosen. That's just the way it is. Brother Jim, how do I know if I'm chosen? The Lord's not commanded you to research that, to look into that, to consider that. There's no way you can know. The command to you is to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. See, if there's going to be forgiveness, if there's going to be help, if there's going to be a rescue of sinners, it's only going to be through Jesus Christ. That's what that verse is getting at. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. There is no other Savior. There is no other Savior. There's no other one that sinners, by which sinners can be saved. He is the only propitiation for our sins. Familiar passage, I'll read it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That propitiation, he is a propitiation, the substitute, atoning one, the one that took the punishment that I deserved, that we deserved. He took it upon himself and gave me the blessedness of salvation by him paying for such. He is the propitiation for our sins. And then we look here in this same chapter, 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. He's saying here, Jesus' love for us affects us and motivates us, the love of Christ. It's not talking about our love for him, but his great love for us, that he would be a propitiation, that he would come and be a sacrifice, that he would be faithful, that having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He did it all. When we come back in 1 John 4, in verse number 11, beloved, if God so loved us, that he gave himself, that he loved us to the end, that he fulfilled his gospel and gave himself, became our propitiation, imputed these things to us, our sin imputed to him, and he took it, the punishment for it. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That we continue in the love of the Lord, this great, wondrous display of the love of the Lord for us. He has loved us, and therefore we love him. It didn't originate with us. It originated with God and his great love for us. No man has seen God, verse number 12, at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. I never had considered or understood this like this before. See, are you saved? You're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God living within you. What is it if I don't love you? If I don't love you who have been saved, being one that saved myself, I'm not loving God. Consider it. We're to be made and conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We represent the Lord. We're his witnesses. We're the tabernacle of the Lord with the Spirit of God living within. And I pick up to not love you. I don't love the Lord if I don't love the saints. Amen? Look at that. No man has seen God any time with these eyeballs. Okay? We see him by faith, yes, but physically we have not. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected. We grow up. That word perfection is not talking about becoming perfect, but to be more mature, more sanctification. There's a connection there also with sanctification. We haven't seen God, but we've seen our brothers and sisters who've been saved by the Lord, and God dwells within them. The very one that saved us dwells within our brothers and sisters in Christ who have been saved by him. And I love you. You love me. We fellowship together because of the Lord and because of the salvation and the kinship that we have because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our love for the Lord is perfected. This is beyond being friends and at the Kiwanis and at the Lions Club and bingo and all that. This is a whole different zip code than that. This is beyond the fellowship that we even have with our own families. Our kindred after the flesh. This is beyond that. This is because of our kindred of the Lord. He loved us so, and he indwells us. And I'm not going to love you. Oh, no man has seen God at any time, but we've seen God in our brothers and sisters in Christ because of his salvation of them. And, you know, it brings a greater sense of urgency for us to get things right between us that are not. Amen. Because we're all representatives of the Lord. We're trophies of his grace. And I'm going to not love my brother and sister in Christ. No man seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. It's manifested in us indeed. Hereby, verse number 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. Hereby, verse number 12. Do you want to be around your brothers and sisters in Christ, or do we endure them for a short spell in the services? Do we want a fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, or are we there in their presence to go ahead and get our worship, quote unquote, done and run off? Do our brothers and sisters in Christ condemn us by their presence and their desire and pursuit to serve the Lord and walk with the Lord and become closer to the Lord, for their compassion and care that they have because of Christ for one another? Does that trouble us and bother us? Does that condemn us of lacking in our own lives? Listen, it's a witness of the Lord. It's the Lord that's speaking to us. Isn't that what it says in Hebrews 10, that we are to provoke one another to love and good works? If I'm condemned by the obedience of my brother and sister in Christ, it's not they that are getting on my nerves. It's the Lord that's speaking to me. I need to confess my sin before the Lord, my disobedience before the Lord, and get it right with him and be enjoined to the Lord and my brethren. Amen. Loving one another, we know that the love of God is in us. He's put his Spirit within us. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Isn't that our testimony? A testifying witness of the Lord Jesus and what he's done. Jesus has saved my soul. And you that are, the Lord has saved your soul, he says, you say the same. Jesus has saved my soul. And we immediately agree together, don't we? We have a connection because of our Savior. Is there a testimony? Or is it something that we hide? We can have a tendency to hide our light under a bushel. Things won't be good when we hide our light under a bushel. Things won't be right when we're not salty salt. Things won't be well when we don't let our light shine for the Lord. Then we have seen and do testify with our mouths, with our conversation, what we think, say, and do, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. If a sinner is going to be saved in the world, our Savior that has saved us is the only one that can do it. Am I a witness for Him? Am I a witness for the world? May the Lord help us in that, to see that. Listen to this. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Remember how it was over here when the Lord Jesus was dealing with these folks in John chapter 6? I hope this is familiar with you. These folks are wanting the free lunch, and the Lord challenges them. Then they want to know about the works of God, and the Lord tells them about that. And the Lord Jesus then gets really, really down to brass tacks, down to where the rubber meets the road. He gets right down to the nitty gritty, if you will, and he says, "You must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. You need me more than your body needs food." I think that's what he's saying there. Not cannibalism or anything like that. The disciples, many go away. They say it's not worth the free lunch. It's a hard saying. Who can hear it? They, by and by, are offended by the word. Can't take that. May God help us. I don't care what the Bible says. May God help us. We're not found there. I don't care what that scripture says. Oh, the scripture tells us the heart and mind of the Lord and what he has given to us, doesn't it? And then the Lord asked the disciples there in verse 66 of John 6, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." They were of that other ground, it seems like, weren't they? And then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" And here, listen to this in parallel with what I read in John 15. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Son of the living God." "Whosoever shall confess, a testimony in our mouth because of the love of the Lord upon us and in us." Do we confess it? Do I tell it? I need to tell it. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God." We're a witness of the Lord. And it goes on here in verse number 16 rather. He says, "God dwelleth in him, and he in God," verse 15, verse 16, "and we have known and believed the love that God hath toward us, And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and he saved this old wicked sinner, the worst one I know. And I believe his love toward me. I've believed it. I've received it by the blessing and work and grace of the Lord. And I know that he died for me. He extended his love toward sinners. And I believe that he did it for me. Just taking him at his word. Believing that I was one that needed to be saved. When the Lord was dealing with me and brought the truth of his word and about my lack of Jesus Christ, it didn't matter about anybody else in the world. Nobody else in the world was even on the radar screen. My problem, my sin, my need, my necessity of Christ. And he said he came into the world to save sinners. And I believe it. Don't you? And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. The love of God is that he gave his Son, isn't it? That the Son was willing to come. Right? Did we read that in 1 John 3:16? Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. That's how we know it. And I believe it. You believe it. And we've known it. We've enjoyed it. We've been blessed to live in it from the time that the Lord saved us. Amen? We, like John, we marvel and revel in it. The Lord has done such a thing for us. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. True love. Isn't it something how Satan and the wickedness of man has taken that word love and made it in our culture and our vernacular to mean something else? We live in a generation today that when the word love is said, if we have not been blessed and tempered and changed by God's definition of love, which is the eternal definition of love, our minds ultimately go to lust and things of the flesh that the Lord is blessed with and given and in the right place are a blessing and a work of God. But Satan has gone in and changed everything about the Lord, hadn't he? He does. He tries to. The world doesn't know what true love is. But we do who have been saved by the Lord, don't we? Yeah. That Jesus would die for the likes of me. And not only that he would raise from the dead and impute that to me, that he'd give me life and make me a joint heir. The Father would make me a joint heir with the Son, make us joint heirs with the Son, and then a great hope of eternal life and a body that won't be hindered anymore by sin. Right, Brother Doug? He mentioned about that this morning. We've known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. It becomes all of our life, all of our existence, doesn't it? Herein is our love made perfect or mature growing up. How is it made perfect? Herein is our love made perfect that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Herein is our love made perfect. I believe it's talking about verse 16. We've believed the love that God has toward us. We've been saved by trusting in Christ. And then after being saved by the Lord, we've known his love as he teaches us and speaks to us and we walk with him and we learn and we grow. He's put us in his church. We've known the love of God in that, haven't we? What a blessing. Does the Lord love his church? Very much so. He gave himself for her, didn't he? And by experiencing that love of the Lord and salvation and that walk and sanctification and walking with the Lord and experience of the Lord in this life, our love is made perfect and we may have boldness in the day of judgment. It's not talking us being heady or high-minded or cocky or anything like that. But we stand before the Lord, will belong there, not because of what we've done, but because Jesus has done. If the Lord would say at the judgment seat of Christ, why are you here? We'd say, Lord, you know, you've saved me. You've brought me this far. You've done it. We have boldness, faith in our Lord, that he will accomplish that which he's promised. Listen, because as he is, so are we in this world. Aren't we to be loving as Christ is loving? I think that you could take that portion of that passage and apply it to many things, but the context is about the love of the Lord. Isn't the Lord loving? Isn't he loving towards his children, even moment by moment? And as he is loving, so aren't we to be loving? Loving one to another? Jude talks to us about even be loving towards sinners that are without hope and without Christ. To have compassion on some, making a difference. That's what Jesus has been and is. As he is, so are we in this world. He is loving, and we are to be loving as the Lord is. Listen to this, verse 18. There is no fear in love. Remember that thing that was said some years ago? No fear. It was a statement that was made on t-shirts and bumper, on license plates and stickers and all kinds of stuff. No fear. Listen, the only way to have no fear is in the Lord. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. You know, in Proverbs chapter 3, take a look over here. We saw this verse in our study of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. And verse number 25. Solomon writes, the Lord speaks to us, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Be not afraid of sudden fear. You know, most of what we fear never comes to pass. I venture to say that 95% of what we fear never comes to pass. And it's not saying that we shouldn't be good stewards. It's not saying that we shouldn't be diligent about things. Oh, but we need to rest in the Lord. We need to rest in Him. And that doesn't mean that we should be careless. As the brother preached this past week, doesn't mean that we should tempt the Lord in any way. But there is no fear in love. Jesus has taken care of us this far, hadn't He? Hadn't He promised to take care of us on the rest of the way? Indeed, He has. We love Him. He loves us. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. What's fear all about? We become fearful when there's something that is unknown. But who knows about the unknown? Doesn't our Savior? Can't we entrust that to Him? Lord, You know about it. You've already been there. The unknown. A diagnosis of an illness, and we don't know what the future will be. The unknown about a loved one being injured, and we don't know what the outcome will be. Situations with work and a reduction of things going on at our jobs and your jobs and such as that, and we fear that something's going on. Doesn't the Lord know about those things? If we'll focus upon the Lord's love for us and our love for Him, we can rest in the Lord and not be afraid. Fear not only has an effect on us because of the unknown. The unknown just sets us back. The storm is coming through. And what will it do? It's unknown to us. We can trust in the Lord. And if it gets bad enough, we need to go to the basement. But the Lord knows where we're at. And He's the master of the wind. And His love for us and our love for Him, it'll cast out fear. Fear, we fear things, and fear comes about in us because we're afraid that this flesh is going to be hurt. Right? Can the new man be hurt? No. Aren't all things in the hand and the working of God? If the Lord chooses a storm to take us on to glory, will we be worse off? He loves us. The Father gave the Son, and the Son willingly came. He loves us. We love Him and are perfected in our love. It'll cast out fear. Fear does have torment in those things of the unknown or the hurting of this flesh. It does have torment when we fear. But he that feareth is not made perfect in love. May the Lord help us that we grow up and be mature in our love for the Lord, our rest and trust in Him. 1 Peter chapter 5, take a look over here. 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6, Peter says it this way, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Do we have a thing that's coming that seems to be sudden or that is unknown? May we take it to the Lord. Cast that care on Him. His love, that His love would shine. He's loved us and we love Him. And let us cast our care on Him. And go to Him in prayer and ask Him to work in those things. And that His love constrains us, that we might be constrained by His love for us. He's given His life for us. The Father has given the Son. Will He hold back on anything? He'll give us exactly what we need, won't He? And then we come to our text verse. We love Him because He first loved us. Oh, what a great display of the Lord's love for us. If any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, this is along the line of what we read here in verse 12. He is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? The Spirit of God dwells within our brethren as it dwells within us. And if I hate my brother, how can I say that I love God? Now, I may have a disagreement with my brother, but I don't need to hold hatred. I don't need to hold within my heart that God would refrain His blessing of goodness from my brother or my sister. I may have a disagreement. I may have a strong, as it says in Romans, let's take a look over here just quickly as an example. We can do this, what we're commanded, what the apostle says here, the Lord says in Romans chapter 16. Look at this. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. I can do that. We can do that without hating them. I'd be in the same boat were it not for the grace of the Lord. Amen? I would be one that would need to be marked by others. So it may be that we would mark one because of their disobedience, that not have an influence upon us, our family, our church, but it's not to hatred. We're to love our enemies, aren't we? And give them the necessity of life if it's there that we're in a place that we can and should do so, right? Yeah. We need to love. In verse 20 of chapter 4, First John 4:20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We love him because he first loved us. Quickly in John 14, four verses here, just a couple points to consider. Do we love the Lord? Do we love the Lord? Do I love the Lord? In John 14:15, the Lord Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Lord Jesus says here, those, a lover of Jesus will obey him. Bottom line. A lover of Jesus will obey him. In verse 24, the scripture says, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. It's simple. A lover of Jesus obeys him. Do we love the Lord? We love him because he first loved us. Next, a lover of Jesus knows and learns his commandments. Verse number 21, he that hath, not in a Bible in their hand, but have in the heart, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Got to know what the Word of God says. Got to have it within for the Spirit of God to have something to work with and to remind us of. A lover of Jesus knows and learns his commandments, has them in his heart, and manifests them in his life. Hath my commandments and keepeth them. Next, thirdly, a lover of Jesus is promised to be loved by the Father and the Son. Verse number 21, they're in the middle of the verse. Let's read it. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest or reveal myself to him. You and I won't have any more of the Lord revealed unto us until we keep that which he's given us right now. Progressive, there is a sanctification that our sanctification does progress and does build. If we can't be faithful in a little thing, we'll never be shown the next. And if I don't love my brother and sister in Christ, if I don't seek to fellowship with those that the Lord has saved and put me together in the Lord's church, how can I go on to the next thing? As an example, if I don't want to be around the Lord's people, if I don't want to be engaged in the work of the Lord and his church, if I just want to be a receiver rather than a receiver and giver, we all have needs and they're met by the Lord, but there's a work to be done and there's a thing that we need to be doing. And he says here, he that loveth me, and it's manifested outwardly and in these things that we've seen, love of our brethren and pursuit of the blessing of the Lord, shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. A lover of Jesus is promised to be loved by the Father and the Son, and there'll be more of a revealing of the Lord unto us. Next, a lover of Jesus will have the Father and Son living within. Verse number 23, listen to this. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You know, as it is with the church, so it is with an individual. At the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, right? Chapter 3 or chapter 4. The Lord Jesus was on the outside knocking on that church, wanting to fellowship. If we don't obey the Lord and follow his commands, follow his teachings, follow his words, follow his sayings, and we say we love him, James tells us, our words are hollow. We can find ourselves not having lost our salvation, nothing to talk about that. Not alluding to that at all. But our fellowship with the Lord indeed will be compromised, broken. Can even get to the point that we've been forgotten that we've even have been saved. We can get bad, bad off. We can. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Want to live closer to the Lord or farther away? And then lastly, a lover of Jesus will know why Jesus was sent by the Father. John gave testimony about our testimony, right? Peter declared that Jesus is the Son of God and he is the Savior and there's no one else to go to. And a lover of Jesus will indeed know why Jesus was sent by the Father. Look here in verse number 24. He that loveth me not, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. A lover of Jesus will know why Jesus was sent by the Father. Why? To save my wretched, unworthy soul. That's why Jesus was sent. I know he saved you. But the most important thing to me is that he saved me. See, I'm here on inside of me. Understand that? I remember as a child thinking that. Why am I on the inside of me? Everybody else, I see their faces, Brother Doug, but I don't see my face unless I look in a mirror. Why am I on the inside of me? I would ask myself when I was young before my teens and that. Why am I on the inside of me? Everybody else is on the outside of me, but why am I on the inside of me? Jesus came to save me. And I love him because he first loved me. And I want to obey him. We love him because he first loved us.